Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. It's that time of year again, end of year themes. We're all about the holidays, predictions for the future. So in podcast 684, we're going to talk about the road ahead, Christmas 2017 and New Year's 2018, taking an early shot at the new year in this podcast. Yeah, so we're going to take a little break from the day-to-day news in this podcast, and it's probably a good thing to do that because we're just going to have some fun with the whole Christmas season and getting through it and everything else. But I do have to make one reference to current events, and this is the fact that given the climate with all these revelations about various figures in business and politics, companies are reevaluating how they do their Christmas events. And I want to make a suggestion for you. If you're one of these people who is, kind of the person who decides or contributes to the decision about what the company's going to do, it's getting a little late. Most companies have already planned it, but, you know, small places don't always do that. I'm going to give you a suggestion for something new and fun to do if you're doing a business or corporate event. And it's great because you're not just sitting at a bar someplace drinking, and you know what kinds of things can happen. This is an evening at Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. And here's what it is. This is a great evening. People are guided through painting a painting, and it seems strange, but they really, really enjoy themselves. They come away with something that they will hang on their walls, and it's great. They will do catering from the Crave in the West End. They have an extensive wine collection, 22 brands of beer, and the folks at Brush are event planning ninjas. So if you're planning a Christmas party for your company, or even a New Year's party for your company, this is a great opportunity to invite clients, to have people from your corporate group. If you're team building, a great Christmas party, and it's really fun because you're engaged in actually doing something. So here's what you do. Check out Brush Studio, West End, St. Louis Park, online at brushstudio.net. You can reach out to them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. That will take you to their website. You can sign up online. Things do tend to fill up, but they can be flexible. BrushStudio.net. Click on that banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher.com for Android devices, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Google Play, and thanks for listening and subscribing to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I have streaming audio up there, and what it does is rotates the last three podcasts, so you don't even have to select a podcast. You can just sit there and read the blog and look at stuff and think about stuff while you're listening, and then once you choose a podcast, then the streaming goes off, and then you click on the player to play the podcast. You can do it on your phone or from a desktop computer. But I do appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter and IG, Instagram as well. And I also appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Great to sit by the fire, especially with the snow and the cold temperatures as we head into December. And it's hard to believe that we are actually nearing, in podcast time, the middle of the last month of the year of 2017. I can't believe it. I think back on all the things that I've done this year, and I just am amazed that it's December. So we're just ahead of a big slowdown. We're heading into Christmas. And that sort of celebratory dead period between Christmas and New Year's, where I find it difficult to get anything done because you can't get anyone on the phone and everybody is rushing to and fro. It is an emotionally charged time. I've talked about this in a couple of the Thanksgiving podcasts, and those are irreverent and okay for Thanksgiving, but if you kind of take that point of view at Christmas, you're cruising for a bruising. You have people that want to come in and visit, you have family members, and we take a lot on at Christmas that I don't think we have to, and I think I give myself permission, I'll just say for myself, that I give myself permission not to do that, because it can seem like months worth of living packed into really a very tight period between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's really, you know, technically less than 30 days. And I don't know how people get through it, to tell you the truth. There's so much emotion tied to a lot of it. And if I were to ask the question, how do I get through it? I would answer it by saying, well, I'm a guy. Therefore, I'm a little different. I do know men that love this season, that love to put up decorations, that love to make their families happy during this period of time. I am a little different along those lines, because my memories of Christmas, while they are good, are fraught with lots of emotion. And I remember a lot of mixed experiences at Christmas, similar to Thanksgiving in history. I would say that when the kids were really little, my son and his cousins were really little, getting everybody together with the family and everything was really, really fun for all of us. So what I do to get through this period of time is I try to keep my commitments at a minimum. Part of it is not respecting to receive, and certainly not running around trying to buy gifts for everybody or run errands for everybody, those kinds of things. And as I said, without any little kids around, and really the little kids are the ones that really benefit and enjoy this time of year for a lot of reasons, mostly because we were off, right? The best part of Christmas was you got a lot of time off from school. So that was the best part about the whole thing, is you it felt like an ocean of time starting whenever you got out of school, that Monday or that Tuesday or that Friday or whenever it was that you didn't have to go to school. And if you're lucky enough to have Christmas hit in the middle of the week, then you got off on Friday and you didn't have to go back until, you know, a Monday, 8 or 9 days later. So it was fantastic. And I don't know how many of you have taken vacations or gone somewhere else for Christmas, but my best memories of this time of year actually were when we would go down to Florida. And for I don't know how many years we did it, but we went down to Florida a couple of years, and I don't know if it was a couple of years in a row or two or three times every other or what we did, because it was so long ago, but I've often talked about the memory of my dad warming up the station wagon in the driveway and it had frost on the windows, and he'd get us up at 4 o'clock in the morning and it would be cold and snowy and frost on the inside of the windows of the car, and I'd get in the way back and my sister would get in the middle seat, and we'd pull the 63 Bel Air out of the driveway, and there was the inevitable I left the iron on stuff, and sometimes we'd have to go back, but we'd get on 57 South and we'd roll, and we'd constantly be putting our hands on the windows to see if it was going to get warm yet, because we were going to this wonderful place called Florida, and we didn't fly, we drove. So there's that. And it didn't actually even get warm until we usually would stop in Memphis, so somewhere around there, Kentucky or Tennessee someplace. And then we didn't notice it getting warm until we'd maybe get to Georgia. And then when you finally hit Florida, the orange groves and the warmth on the windows, and Christmas at that time, being a kid from Chicago, enjoying Christmas in a somewhat tropical environment down near Miami, was really something for me. I loved walking around the neighborhood with my grandpa and the people with their Christmas lights out and stuff like that. But instead of snow, it was sand, you know, and I thought that was great. So Christmas down in Florida was really, really special. And everybody has these sort of memories to draw on. But I think the worst memories are the memories where there was all kinds of emphasis on getting things done and running errands, and you have to go do this and you have to do that and you have to pick up this and the intense emotions during this period of time. And so I think the best way to get through it is kind of like a kid, in the sense that it's time to withdraw judgments. It's time to withdraw judgments about family and friends and ourselves especially. And to do whatever we can do to slow it down. Right now at yoga, there's a big emphasis on slowing down through this period and breathing. and taking a breath rather than just pushing yourself and just, you know, not having a lot of things that have to be done so that you can really, you know, I don't have Christmas decorations, but some people just have a little tiny tree with some lights on it, and that's their Christmas celebration. And I get that some people want it nice and really amazing, super special through this period, and, you know, that's fine, but perfection is a different thing from just enjoying it and having fun doing it. I've certainly seen, you know, some stuff on the IG that are amazing, but it's best to ease back and take what comes with a level of appreciation. Now, some people can't do that, and they don't do that. But if you're going to do that, do it yourself. Don't expect and force other people to, quote unquote, help you do these things, because you're doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself, which is fine. And people will appreciate it if you just do it yourself. But when you have to have, unless the other person is really into helping and wants to do that, well, it's a vision that you have. And that's the challenge, is to get people that want to help you with that. What do I want for Christmas? Well, that's an interesting question. Basically, I just want time. I always go out for Chinese food on Christmas Day. So Christmas Day in the morning, there's the whole present opening thing, usually somewhere. You know, we lost a nephew this year, and he used to love to go with us to the Chinese place that opened at 3 o'clock on Christmas Day. And so we will do that again this year. And the thing about the family is nobody wants to do that because they think it's so weird. But I think it's great. The place opens up at 3 o'clock on Christmas Day in my town. We head over. It's going to be packed with people who are not celebrating Christmas, and that is probably why I like it. So this, you know, Chinese food on Christmas Day is actually my Christmas present, getting Chinese food with non-Christians and getting Chinese food with my, you know, now young adult son and his cousins is really fun. So maybe we'll have a few more this year because we're celebrating our, you know, my nephew's life this year a little bit by doing this. The other thing that goes on this time of year is a yearly review in the media. And I want to talk about that a little bit because this is, this can be a real problem for me. The yearly reviews make me nervous and bother me. You know, you've got all these top stories that have to be reviewed, top songs, the inevitable lists of the top fives, who was the best person this year, who deserves to be on the cover of Time magazine, and on and on and on. And those things always bothered me because I think it makes things bigger than they are. You know, in retrospect, it's better to go back 5 or 6 years and then you begin to see what events are really salient and what events actually did change things. But with the lists of things that happen, also go the lists of predictions, the psychic and otherwise predictions that, are, you know, actually the psychic predictions are often more accurate than the non-psychic predictions about what's going to happen. And these will, you know, accelerate after Christmas. And to me, the endless addiction in the media to both advocate and to predict the future is quite vexing to me, because when you make predictions about the economy, when you make predictions about life in general, when you make predictions about politics, foreign affairs, and so on, that really can be frustrating. Yeah, and business comes up an awful lot this time of the year, especially if your fiscal year is January to January. And to that end, I want to talk about a company I'm working with, which really helps you to get better cash flow if you need payments processed, and we all do if we're in business for ourselves. So let me tell you about it. This is a company called ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. I'm pretty excited about this because they do business. So if you have back office issues and you're trying to get paid faster, they can help you because they process payments. If you have a business and you do business through your website, they can help you. If you are a developer and you develop websites for clients, even if they don't do e-commerce, listen up, because this is a message that you want to be able to listen to. What does ReliaFund do? They process payments. It's that simple. This is a payment processor. They've been doing this for 20 years, been providing integrated solutions to get payments payments process for more than two decades. If you're developing an e-commerce website, by the way, they do answer the phone. There are actual people there that can help you. They do apps. They can, tailor make solutions to specific clients. No long-term contracts. They're secure, technology-focused. Here's the number, 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. Or check them out online at reliafund.com. That's reliafund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D.com. If you call them at 866-243-5040, you can ask for Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry. They are very, very good at helping people. So check them out, reliafund.com. Yeah, I mean, it's fair to say that this is a good time to review our lives. And we do it because we have downtime, we have time with family, we have time if we are working and we're working for somebody, we usually have a little bit of time off, and we're thinking about all the time that has elapsed to this particular point. You know, if your fiscal year is January to January, maybe you're budgeting or you're thinking about what you're going to do next year and so forth. I talk a lot about business in these podcasts, small business, really micro business. I like to refer to my business as a micro business. And one of the reasons I love the time between Christmas and New Year so much is it is downtime technically. People, back in the day really couldn't spend too much time outside. So the time spent inside was the time spent to fix clothing and to fix implements. And you spent time inside and you spent time preparing for the planting, growing, and harvest seasons. I can imagine people in their sort of primitive pioneer homes, around 1870, 1880, 1890, in certain parts of the country, this is when you pulled out the Sears catalog and figured out what you were going to, seeds you were going to get, or you got the seed catalog out, all that kind of stuff. I'm just imagining this because this is something I've never done. It is a time to look around and see what you're planning on planting, planning on growing, and what you hope to harvest in the next year. It's a good way to think about it. But as far as predicting the future, we are pushed to predict the future so much in this society. We are pushed so hard to think about this future time that we really don't think too much about the past, the year that just passed, because we are working so hard mentally to think about all these things that are supposedly going to happen in the future, especially if we're connected and we're politically trying to do things or we're covering the news or anything like that. We don't really think about what has been accomplished in 2017 or in the year before, whatever year you're listening to this podcast on, and how we could have done more or actually done less, doing stuff that's not necessarily better or more, but right for ourselves this past year and what we might think about doing next year. You know, for me, my thinking about thinking has changed. My thinking about politics has changed. My thinking about business has changed. I've had a lot of revelations about my business this year, what I have to do to make it better, what I have to do to scale it. And a whole list of things to do on that front. And certainly, if you listen to these podcasts, you know that people's attitudes are changing politically. My attitudes are changing politically. There's also non-political attitudinal changes and social changes in this country, changes on social media and so forth. And I'm not going to get into those because that's really not the meat of this podcast. But it's also the things that we think about when we have downtime. If we are strong enough to take the downtime, especially if we're in business for ourselves, which ends up being a 24/7 kind of thing. And, I have to work to turn it off because I will find myself at the computer checking analytics when I decided I wasn't going to do that, or looking around to see if there's somebody I can send an email to or whatever. And, and I'm speaking to myself, if I find that I'm pissed because there's a holiday, what happens is I'm like, well, this is a day that's going down the tubes. I can't get any work done today. That's, And why? Well, because being in business for yourself is a labor of love. It's not work. I don't see it as work. So those of us that are in business for ourselves, we have to be pushed not to do anything. And I think that's a good thing, not to do anything. But as I said, then there are all these predictions about what kind of year it's going to be. most of us aren't going to necessarily learn something that's going to make that much of a difference through all these lists. We're not policymakers, unless you are. We're not people with our hands on the levers that determine what things may or may not happen. We know that the predictions are useless because most of us really end up adapting to, you know, dealing with whatever comes. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's not good. You end up having to deal with it because guess what? Life goes on. But there is value to rest. There's, you know, what is it? It's dark all the time, really. We only have a few hours of sun during the day until the solstice, and then it starts going in the opposite direction, which I hate to say this, but I'm going to. You know, the Christmas holiday in the West is really much to do about a celebration of the return of light than it is about the birth of Christ, even though we have been told that Christ was born on the 25th of December. My understanding is that they're pretty sure he wasn't. But in any case, you know, all the iconography of Christmas, the symbols of Christmas, have to do with light. So there's some pagan elements to Christmas that I think Christians don't want to hear about. They tend to ignore that. And I'm not saying that we should all be pagans. I'm just saying, you know, these celebrations, going back to ancient times, have different roots, and in our time, they're combined into some different ideas. Holiday season, as most Christians know, the most significant holiday in the Christian faith is actually Easter. It's the resurrection. It is not necessarily the birth. So Christmas has sort of grown as a general, you know, celebration of light, similar to probably what it was back in Roman times when it was the festival of what, Saturnalia, you know, same kind of a thing where you have this inevitable slowing down that comes from this darkness and you spend more time inside. And then there's kind of this little celebration to celebrate the fact that the sun starts going in the opposite direction after December 21st. We start getting lighter and lighter and lighter. So that's kind of what this is for those of you who aren't necessarily tied to a Christian celebration. I think it's interesting that as a Christian celebration, Christmas is relatively new, especially in the United States, the whole Santa thing and everything else. It does have a sort of secular kind of feel to it. Now, you can get super religious, but if you really are religious, you're really celebrating the resurrection of Christ, not the birth of Christ, although I guess, you know, and I'm not a theologian, I know a lot of people with great faith celebrate the birth of Christ, but it has a lot to do with the celestial movements as much as it has to do with faith, and I hope that doesn't offend people because it's not meant to offend people. It goes along with it. You certainly have the freedom to decide how you're going to worship, you know, what you're going to worship or what. Honestly, I find it to be a little tedious this time of the year, and the religious stuff gets a little heavy-handed for me. You know, because as you know, when we were connected to the land, we knew this, that it was a dark period, and you know, in modern times, we're deeply connected to our devices, screens, computers, you know, things that operate 24 hours a day if we want, which I think is a good thing. But sometimes it's good to shut it all down and just let it be. Now, nobody can predict the future. We can certainly discuss percentages for outcomes, like we bet on horses, right? But nobody knows what is coming. And rather than the lists and the predictions and the analysis and the descriptions and everything else, maybe what we ought to all do is just take a slowdown. So, Merry Christmas, and I'll see you at the Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day. Now, when we get back into the political stuff, I just saw a story a couple of days ago that talks about trade protection and how it's going to be handled by the new administration in year two. So if you are a company that does your manufacturing overseas, then you're thinking about reshoring. You have to be, because companies are basically hedging their bets. If you are considering reshoring and you are considering American manufacturing, I want to recommend DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. You can check them out online at DepoStar.com or click on the banner at the top of the page of the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Again, if you are doing some planning for a last-minute corporate Christmas party or even a New Year's party, let me suggest Brush Studio in the West End. Check them out online at brushstudio.net or call them, because classes do tend to fill up quick. They can be flexible, and they are event planning ninjas for you. 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700, brushstudio.net. All right, you guys, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'll, of course, be podcasting between now and then, but I thought I would get in early and throw in a little bit of a Christmas podcast in podcast 684.
My heart for now is a private road. No thoroughfare, no heavy load. No slow traffic, no